Hello, hello, everybody. It's Trevor, alongside my effervescent wife, Ava.
Hello again.
Welcome to episode 3 of Trevor and Ava Save the World, weekly podcast where Ava and I chat about entertainment and interesting news, finishing up with some audience advice. You too can be part of the show by simply emailing us your comments, questions, and concerns to advice@trevorandava.com. If you like that, please feel free to subscribe to or follow us on your favorite podcast service, or leave us a thumbs up or 5-star review. But that's enough of that. On to the show. Cheers, Ava.
Cheers.
What do you want to talk about first this week, Ava?
Let's talk about the importance of being financially aligned as a couple.
Oh, okay. Heavy topic. Some couple strategy advice.
Yeah, I think it's important to be financially aligned as a couple because I sound like an answer in a test. That you start with a sentence, so it makes it long. You start with a question, so it makes it long. Well, but I think it's important because I feel like a lot of issues in couples might start because of financial problems or money issues. Not even like you don't have enough money, but like money related issues. So I think it's important.
Yeah.
It's annoying kind of topic, but it is important.
Yeah, I agree. It's important. What kind of brought this up in your mind? Were you reading about something?
Well, yeah, I was listening to another podcast where these couple are talking about how, like, their situation. They're in a different scenario than we are because they're married. They've been married for 15 years and they have 3 kids and they bought a house together. So we don't have any of that. But I think it's important to hear from another perspective and, like, how they save their money or, like, decided to. Because they were before they were living in Los Angeles, so it was like a whole different type of living style, and then decided to move somewhere like in the middle of the country, which is like way cheaper, but it allowed them to buy a house and everything.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to hear other people's experience.
Yeah, I think it's important that you kind of share the same outlooks of like where you're headed and like what you're. Quote unquote roadmap for big purchases is like what if I wanna buy a boat next month and Ava wants to
get my
go
car.
To Australia or something.
Get my car.
Yeah.
That I want.
You gotta kinda build those roadmaps of big spending together.
Yeah. Cause then you'll be like, hey, but we have that money, say Bob, and you'll be like, what money? I already spent it on a video game. I'm like, no, you didn't ask? Or, like, we didn't discuss about it. I'm just saying a video game because the first thing that came to my mind.
I doubt there's a video game that's going to cost so much.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that because we're in your office and I'm surrounded by video games.
Lucky you.
I was so lucky. But, yeah, I think for us, we haven't really had, like a big conversation about it, I think. And you're the one that's always, like, budgeting our budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
And controlling that. Well, obviously, because you also make the big purchases.
Yeah.
So you're.
But we talk about.
Yeah, you're more alert onto like what you're spending or like what am I spending or like we're spending so much money on food. But yeah, I think like how we think about it, if we want to stay in Fort Myers, we were thinking about buying a house. And I mean, like, I'm not sure if I really want to buy a house yet. Just because. There is so much, like, involved into buying a house.
There's a lot that goes into owning a house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just from, like, if the roof breaks, like, you have to do it on your own.
Yeah.
It's not like here that something happens and we're like, hello, front desk, come fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's something that it takes time to figure out. I think it's something you can kind of figure out while you're dating to some extent where...
Oh, yeah, because you can see, like, the... your significant other's lifestyle and like what do they like or how do they spend their money or if they're always like broke because they don't make good decisions.
If they like have to keep buying the new thing even though they don't have any money saved up or if they like don't buy anything and they're living off of ramen and
yeah, and like you might be okay with not you, but like I'm saying like another person might be okay with that living on the risk like, they're not afraid of that risk of like taking loans and living to the extreme and like, we'll figure it out later, but we're living in the moment. I couldn't do it. Just also like the way I was raised, like, is my parents are, both of my parents are business people. So numbers are like the priority. And we always had like a budget, and like going on vacation was like a strategy and a budget, and like, this is how much we're going to spend. And my dad would be like, this is for you for shopping, this is for your brother for shopping, and this is for your mom for shopping. You guys buy whatever you want, but this is how much each of you is getting.
For us, it was really different. So like most of the time we would be relatively cost effective, but like day to day, you know, we can buy snacks and whatever else. So we weren't like on a tight budget. But then when we went on vacations, my mom would always say, it's vacation, whenever somebody would be like, oh, that's expensive. She's like, yeah, but it's vacation. So if we go to a expensive restaurant or like we're at a theme park and we want the fast passes to...
Okay.
And it costs like $150 extra, but she's like, oh, it's vacation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good excuse too, because it also depends like how many vacations you take in the year. And like, we always took like 3 vacations a year, so maybe it's like you're budgeting that in a year. Maybe if you only do like 1 big vacation a year, it's different because you save up and you're like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
We saved the money, so it should be okay. But yeah, you can go a little crazy, especially if you use that phrase like, oh, we're on vacation.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like you're allowing yourself to be like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I shouldn't worry about
it. It's like, how many times can you say that before it becomes a problem?
Yeah. Or when you start like buying things on Amazon and you're like, oh, it's only $10. Oh, it's only $10. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, okay, I spent $200 without even realizing. Yeah.
That's how the mobile games get you.
Oh, because like, you just see the amount, but you don't see the total amount.
Yeah, well, mobile games, they do it 2 ways. First, they only charge you like $5 at a time.
Uh-huh.
And then in like Pokemon Go, you don't spend money in the game. You spend Pokecoins. Yeah. But you have to pay money for the Pokecoins, and then you pay the Pokecoins to get the stuff.
God. So like that time that my phone freaked out and I accidentally bought $100 of Pokecoins. I could have bought a pair of shoes.
She tells me it was an accident, but I think she just wanted to catch the Pikachus.
No, it was an accident. My phone froze and I put my finger, because my phone had like the finger payment thing. And I put my finger by mistake and it automatically paid. And I'm like, no, no. Ugh, so mad.
I'm sure it was worth it.
I still have Pokecoins, and well, that was like,
look at that.
That was,
you're like, rich.
I'm rich in Pokecoins. That was like 6 months ago. I don't know.
I think that was like a year and a half ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago. But yeah, what do you think? It's the first thing you should do to talk about this with your partner or your wife or your husband.
Like when should you talk about it with them?
Yeah, when and how and like. What method you should use to keep everything in a budget, like an app?
Oh, yeah. Recommend? I mean, I think there's a lot of good budgeting apps out there right now. There's Mint, which is pretty good.
There's NerdWallet.
And those are pretty good, just to keep track of finances and budgeting where your spending is going.
Okay.
And as far as, like, when you should have the conversation, I don't think there's, like, perfect time, because it's an awkward conversation to have if you guys have differences. Mm-hmm. If like you're on the same page from the very beginning, then it's not going to be a problem, but obviously it can become a problem if you guys aren't aligned.
Yeah, and I think for us it's a little different. Like, obviously each case is different because we each have a salary and like we kind of like budget our own salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really ask you for money unless it's like we're going on a trip, then you're like paying for it. And then I buy my own things, like clothes or whatever I want to do, right? Or like sometimes I do grocery shopping and it's fine. But maybe if it's only like one person that has a job in the family, then yeah, you should do a budget because it's only one income that you have to split into, I don't know, like say three people, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then like we were talking about that, I was so mad about the, what's it called? The 401k?
401k, yeah.
401k. Because it just doesn't make any sense to me that you have to save up this money until you're 60? 55,
I think.
55? What if something happens before that and you need the money?
Well, you can take it out. You just have to pay.
But yeah, then you have to pay. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, like, it does make sense to me, but it's just, like, kind of annoying that your money is trapped in an account.
Yeah.
And you need to pay an amortization to get it out.
Yeah. I think it's... I mean, when I worked at EA, like, they did 100% matching on your 401k contributions up to a certain amount. And that those are the cases where, like, a 401k plan is really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Where your employer is paying into it, just, like, as much as you are, or some percent of what you are.
Mm.
But in a case like yours, where your employer doesn't pay into it, then it's less appealing.
Because we open one for me now, right?
Yeah, yeah, you have one open. And
do you have one open now, or you still?
I have one, yeah.
Okay.
I have one with my company. And our current employers don't pay into it, so it's less appealing for sure.
Because,
like, with my EA one, it was like free money, right?
I guess, yeah.
But now it's like, oh,
it's like part of your paycheck is going to this ghost account that you'll see in the future.
Yeah. It's smart though.
Yeah, I know it's smart. And just like thinking about it, like, what if something happens, you know, like you never know, and it's like, oh, it's my money, but now I have to pay and a fee because I need it right now.
Yeah, but I think the fee is just kind of you're paying the taxes that you would have paid on the contribution or something.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, but something like that.
Mm. Okay. Do you do budgets for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think I'm in a position where we need to keep like a very strict budget, luckily. We're relatively comfortable.
Yeah. And I think it's because of that, because like each of us has an income, so like you kind of don't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
Dressing up, being presentable to the world.
Yeah, but I do like that we've always kind of had a similar spending pattern, where like
we buy dumb things.
Well, we'll buy dumb cheap things.
Yeah.
But then once in a while we'll spend a good amount. But then we all like inside we both kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
For like a month, and then we're like, okay, now I can spend money again.
Yeah. Oh my god, like that website that you were buying stuff, Wish?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, that's like so bad, so
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah, I think it's okay if we talk bad about Wish, because I don't know if we want them to sponsor us ever. But
no, I mean, maybe some people might get lucky and like out of things,
there
things
probably
that
are
you
some
order,
good things, but
you might get a good one.
Yeah.
But the things that you order were horrible.
Yeah, and all the stuff I ordered from there, it was
like
$10 or cheaper, I think. The most expensive was the like fake PlayStation thing that was
$10. With the games, yeah.
With games like all in Chinese and like some of them barely playable.
Oh my god. Can you return stuff from Wish, or is it not returnable?
I'm not sure.
That one is coming from China,
it's
right?
It's coming from China, so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because that's the good thing about Amazon, that you're like, nope,
oh, yeah.
Return.
Something's broken. Get my money back right away.
Yeah.
Doesn't show up, get my money back right away.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have a good policy. Because they want to make their clients happy.
Yeah, I remember one time I ordered like a HDMI cable or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was delivered, but I didn't get it. And then I told them, and then they gave me my money back. And then 2 days later it arrived, even though it said it was delivered 2 days before that. So I ended up getting it for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, because then they want you to return and actually, like, and buy something else.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, in general for companies, it's a good policy to have, like, strong customer service.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, even if you lose out on some money at some point, it's worth it to, like, keep the customers happy and keep using your service.
Yes.
Oh, and on our spending, I think we both kind of feel when we go out or we like experience new things or go on dates or, you know, go on vacations, we're like okay with spending a little more.
And are you in the winery? I'll get 6 bottles.
Well, you know, when in Rome.
I mean, honestly, do you know how much they cost?
When in Napa.
When in Napa, you have to buy wine.
Do as the Napans do. Is that how the saying goes?
Sure.
But yeah, we had a bit of a fancy date yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Where we went to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice to be able to spend money on something for just us.
Yeah, it was nice.
Although, we did go to Applebee's after for their $1 Bahama Mamas, but you know, it's a balance.
Well, we were actually done and satisfied with our dinner. Like,
yeah.
We were good. But then we're like, it's only 8:30, like, should we go home? Because we went for an early dinner. Because we're like, oh, it's steak, so like, we don't want to be so full that we can't fall asleep. So we went to dinner like at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Like the grandpas do here in Fort Myers. So we were done by 8:30 and like, oh, should we go home or should we just like go out? And we're like, Applebee's has a great deal. $1 drinks. They were okay. They were very sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like your...
It was like mixer and a little bit of what.
It's not like a
wrong.
Craft cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was good. I mean, cause we were with a friend, and how many drinks did we have in total?
Probably like 3 each or
kind
so.
Of. Yeah, and it was only $14.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Applebee's in general is good if you're like looking for like drinks and snacks, because they have the all you can eat. What is it, like chicken, fried chicken, shrimp, or something?
God.
One other thing.
I don't know.
But it's all you can eat. You can just get plate after plate of
chicken
fingers.
Yeah, but it's not like a good thing. Like, it's fried chicken.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're getting drunk and what's delicious?
I guess fried food. But yeah, I guess that's kind of like the balance we do sometimes.
Yeah.
We will spend a little more money and then we're like, ah. Or like, I guess we eat a lot at home. Like, we cook a lot. So also that helps saving money. But also we spend kind of like a lot of money in groceries.
Yeah, we probably spend too much on like Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Organic
we,
stuff.
Because we go everywhere, I think, to buy our groceries. We go to Costco, we go to Whole Foods.
We don't go to Walmart, but mostly because it's just too crowded.
Oh my God, yeah. Sometimes the people is weird.
Well, that's Walmart for you.
Yeah. We go to like Publix. And the Fresh Market. Yeah, but yeah, we go everywhere. But it is a nice thing to talk to your partner and make sure you are aligning your lifestyles or like what you aspire in your life with that person,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
What your plans are. Like maybe in your mind you want the $1 million apartment like Eva does.
Oof. Or you want to live in San Francisco and pay like $3 million for a tiny apartment.
Yeah. Or do you just want to be like, I never told you I want to live in the city. I want to live in the countryside. And I'm like, oh, you never told me this.
I want to live in an island.
Yeah. So I think it's important to talk
about
it.
Or if you're like me and you just want to live on a cruise ship.
Yeah, I don't want to live in a cruise ship.
What?
I would be so bored after a week. Wouldn't you be bored?
Never.
I would be so bored.
I'd be working, so.
Yeah, and then me? What am I doing?
Relaxing.
I can't relax for a whole year.
You can do art.
No, I don't know. But yeah. I think like this, the around the world cruise might be too much for me.
Well, I guess I'm going alone.
No, you can't
go alone.
See
you on the other side.
You can't go alone. You have to go everywhere with me.
I'm sure we can set up like an artist's cabin. Or we can have like an art cruise that everybody that goes is an art person.
Oh my God. No. I want to be with you.
Well, I'll go too.
Well, what's the point of working?
I'm an artist.
What's the point of going on a cruise and then you're just going to be in an office working?
Well, no.
You can just put a window. We can just like make a window that looks like a cruise and put like fishes on water. So it looks like you're in that cruise ship.
And what about the dolphins, Ava?
We can put like a TV. We can make a window that is actually a TV. And it's like dolphins jumping from the water. So you feel like you're on the cruise ship. And then we can make the room move. So you feel the movement of the ocean. Well, that's what it's going to happen in the cruise ship. Like, it's going to move. And what if a storm comes? Then you're like, whoa.
We'll have to make my room move like there's a storm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think a cruise is really fun because you keep stopping at different ports and there's so many different things to do. Because it's like
You just want to be a pirate.
Well, I do want to be a pirate, but I think that's unrelated.
I think the way you describe it, that is fun because you're stopping in a different port. That's like a pirate thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah. if you're going to be working, I don't think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it'll be fun for you.
I feel like I need attention.
Well,
you have to walk me.
You can find like a puppy. Boyfriend.
What? I don't know.
You don't have a boyfriend?
I have you.
I'm just your husband.
You're my husband and my boyfriend and my friend.
Alright, well, listeners, let us know what you think about financial alignment. You can write in to advice@trevorandava.com and let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any questions about your specific situation. But we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah. And make sure to talk to your partner about this.
Money, money, money. Mm-hmm. This episode of Trevor and Ava Save the World is brought to you by Inkless Pens. Tired of always running out of ink in your pens? Try Inkless Pens. The pens that have no ink inside, so you never have to worry about running out of ink. From the creators of Hairless Wigs, Inkless Pens, for writing messages that you don't want others to read. And now it's time to talk entertainment.
Trevor's favorite part of the segment.
True. So we went to see a new movie this Friday.
We went to see the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Wow. So coordinated.
What'd you think?
I thought it was good. So I went to the movie thinking it was a completely different movie in my mind. Actually, we didn't see that much blood like I was expecting.
Some of his other movies.
Yeah, like exploding blood. We saw blood, but it wasn't exploding blood.
It's not Kill Bill level.
Yeah, but I thought, because I read it was about Charles Manson, and the whole movie I was kind of a little tense. Well, I was kind of, first I was a little tense because there were two policemen in the movie theater just standing in the entrance, and then I saw the girl that works in the movie theater with a list, like the list of people that were sitting in the movie theater. I don't know how they can have that, though. I guess like when you swipe your card, you have a name.
Because we picked seats when we got
it doesn't have names.
Maybe it does.
But it will have your name. Like, it wouldn't have my name.
Maybe it just has, like, a map of, like, where people should be sitting if they have tickets.
Maybe. And, like, oh, my God, what's going on? And then in my mind, I was like, this is a Charles Manson movie. And then there is police. Are they bringing the police here because it's, like, a murderer movie? And, like, they're afraid people might murder somebody? But then you're like, it's fine. But I was kind of, like, a little... Like, in my mind, I was playing, like, a whole movie. I was like, oh, my God, there's probably going to be, like, a scene. There's going to be somebody getting shot, and then somebody in the movie theater is going to shot, and it's going to be disguised with the sound in the movie. And I was like, no.
You have a very active imagination.
I guess. But then nothing happened. You said, like, they were just checking the emergency exit.
Yeah, they went over and looked at the emergency exit door. So I think somebody, like, tripped an alarm or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, oh, no. Are the two policemen here? Like, I think they just stayed to watch half of the movie.
Did you think it was ICE coming to get you?
I'm legal. I'm a green card holder.
Yeah. You're a permanent resident.
For 2 years.
Yeah. A permanent 2-year resident.
Yeah. Because I have to reapply. But yeah. I thought it was a good movie. I thought the takes, like the different takes, were really good. Like in artistic kind of way.
The shots. Yeah.
They were really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, before we get into spoilers, I just thought the movie was... It's very Tarantino, where, you know, like, dialogue is one of, like, the most important thing that he focuses on.
It had feet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing. I don't know. Apparently that's a thing that he's focused on is feet, because there was a lot of feet.
They were dirty feet, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, more power to you, but it just felt weird. It felt out of place.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, with like the hippie girl, I guess, but the shot was literally on her feet.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I liked it. It's very Tarantino, less violent as much as like dialogue and strong characters. I definitely recommend seeing it. It's kind of long. I think it's 2 hours, 48 minutes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was long.
So it's a long one. It doesn't feel that long, though. No. I feel like Endgame felt longer, but it was only like 10 minutes longer than this.
Okay. Yeah. It did feel long, but it wasn't like, oh my god, when is this movie going to end?
It wasn't like, ugh, can we just be done?
Yeah.
No, it was good. Yeah.
I was actually very anxious, well, going back to, like, the Charles Manson part, because I was like, maybe this is, like, a two-part movie that is, at the beginning, is this very nice story, and then it's going to turn into blood, and, like the actual killer is going to come. But it never did. I mean, like, it did a little bit, but just, like, 10 minutes out of the whole movie.
So, let's get into spoilers. So, it was a very tense movie at times, but it seemed like every time that it was tense, they kind of immediately relieved the tension.
Mm-hmm.
There was the scene where he goes to the, what was it, Spawn Ranch?
Yeah. Well, we didn't mention. So, in the movie, there is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And, well, there is more people, but Margot Robbie. So, they're the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And
Kind of. I think we can say
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Margot Robbie got Margot robbed.
What?
Of her screen time.
Oh.
I mean, I feel like...
And that's the thing, because, like, the movie's supposed to be about her and Charles Manson.
That's how they, like, played with our expectations, where it's like, you expect, okay, she's the main character, she's the one that got killed in real life.
Because she's playing Tate. What's her name?
Sharon Tate. Yeah, and it just doesn't go as you would expect it.
Yeah.
Based on real life.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the movie, it's like, what would have happened if she had these other neighbors?
Yeah, it's kind of like Inglourious Basterds in that way, where it's something historical that happened, but then he, like, throws in some new characters and puts a spin on it.
Yeah, and then we were listening to an interview, and they were saying that it's kind of like this love letter to the old Hollywood and the radio. Well, he was mentioning, because he's from L.A., right?
Yeah, he grew up there.
He grew up in L.A., so he was saying, the director, that most of the shots remind him of his childhood, driving around with his stepdad. So, like, the Hollywood, not the Hollywood sign, the signs in the boulevard, and, like, the radio was playing in the background.
I think he said like the car that Brad Pitt drove was his dad's car.
Stepdad.
The same kind, yeah.
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 Oh, okay. The Cadillac. It was a Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, it's kind of like appreciating those old times.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think this is one of his better movies. I think it's good. But compared to, like, Django, I think this is a little bit weaker as far as the plot.
This one was sweeter.
Yeah. I mean, definitely it's more about the characters. Like you said, it's a love letter. It's not trying to, like, overplay something. But at the same time, the plot is very thin, where, like, we have these characters, and they're doing stuff, and we get to know the characters, but there's not really, like, a plot. It's just kind of like their lives are happening.
Yeah.
We're not seeing, like, growth or any, like, direction other than this is just what's happening. And then
he throws a Brad Pitt taking off his shirt.
Yeah.
Just because it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like, some very slight buildup with when Brad Pitt eventually, like, goes to the Spawn Ranch and, like, meets the Manson family.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, the end of the movie where the Manson family is on Cielo Drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, the only through line. Otherwise, it's just, like, oh, they're on the movie set. They're, like, flying to Italy doing stuff.
Yeah.
The beginning, he's, like, meeting with this guy that's trying to get him Italy jobs.
I also noticed that this movie had a lot of young actors and actresses. Like very current people that's famous now. Obviously it had like the people that we know they're famous for a long time, like Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, but then it also has these other people that I've seen in movies, I don't remember their names, but they're pretty young. So the acting is different too.
Yeah. I mean, I think the acting is very good.
Yeah, the acting was good.
Yeah, like...
Who am I to judge? I can't judge it. I'm not an actress.
I mean, you can say if it feels real, if it feels authentic.
Yeah.
But it's not cheesy at all. Like, how Leonardo's character, Rick Dalton, he's in his trailer mad at himself because he messed up a scene. Because
he was drunk.
And he's like, I don't know... His emotions felt real.
Yeah. And yeah, like, that seemed like a real actor thing. That
yeah. And even the scene where, like, they're recording a TV show and he, like, messes up his line. And then he's just like, oh, no, let's just restart everything. Let's restart everything. That feels like a real thing that would happen.
Yeah.
Even though, like, at that time, they weren't recording digitally. They were recording on film. Mm. So, like, it's a big deal to have to do, like, a bunch of takes.
Yeah, like it costs a lot of money.
Yeah. It's just a hassle. And then they have like a set amount of film. And if they run out, then they're out.
Yeah.
So it feels very authentic, the characters. I really enjoyed the Bruce Lee thing with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Even though it was...
Well, I was actually Googling and it said that people thought Bruce Lee has something to do with the murder of Sharon.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that's why they put him in the character, in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because he trained her to be in the movie that she was, right? I don't know the name of the movie now.
I think so. It was like The Wrecking.
Because that's what they show us in the take. Like, they actually then show Margot Robbie kind of like training.
Yeah.
With the guy that was pretending to be Bruce Lee. Yeah. Right. But I don't know. I googled Charles Manson and Tate and they said something about... Bruce Lee has something to do, or they thought he had something to do, or he had some connection with it.
Well, I don't know. I don't actually know much about the story. I just know he was crazy and he had a bunch of hippies that they went and killed people.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So one thing...
So she was, in real life, she was stabbed 16 times with the baby. She was 2 weeks about to give birth.
Yeah, and Madsen just died like a couple of years ago, right?
2017.
Yeah. But yeah, so the movie, the character, the characters and the acting are amazing. The plot is very thin. It relies way too much on, like, knowing the story. Like, already knowing what happens. Because neither of us knew that story intimately.
Mm-mm.
Like, at the beginning of the movie, it shows Cielo Drive very prominently. And I didn't know what that was. But I realized, like, oh... That must be something important that, like, people know that's where it happened or something.
Yes.
Which is the case, but I didn't know that before the movie. But I think it relies way too much on already knowing the story. Because the whole subversion of expectations that they do with, like, oh, yeah, they're going to murder Sharon. That is completely reliant on knowing what happened in real life.
Yeah.
They don't. You know, there's no way that they indicate that in the movie.
Mm-mm.
There are, like, hints of, like, oh, maybe they'll go after
They play a scene where we think is Charles Manson coming into her house.
Yeah.
I'm asking for some people that used to live there.
Yeah. But that's the only
time we see him. We think is him.
Yeah, and that's the only time that, like, there's any relationship between what Sharon's doing and the Manson family.
Yeah.
So at the end when they come up to Cielo Drive and we're like, oh, what's gonna happen? It doesn't even seem like they're necessarily going to go into her house.
Mm-mm.
So to go into, like, full spoilers on exactly what happened. So they're just, like, sitting there in the middle of the street and we're kind of, like, expecting them to do something, but they just kind of don't. And then to me, it didn't seem like they were there to kill anybody. The guy had a gun, but it wasn't until Rick Dalton yelled at them and then they left, or they, like, went to the bottom of the street, and then the Asian girl, like, convinced them, oh, we should go kill these people because they taught us to kill. That was the time when they, like, flipped the switch that, okay, we're going to go kill people. Right, because the girl from Stranger Things, Uma Thurman's daughter, she didn't want to kill people.
No.
So she wouldn't have been there if that was their plan from the beginning, I don't think.
I don't know. I think because they all had knives, I remember them saying that we have to do what he told us to do. So I think the plan was going there and kill them, but then they kind of like got scared because this other guy was yelling at them. But then the Asian girl kind of gained their confidence back.
Yeah.
That I think that's what she was saying, that like we should kill people who taught us how to kill. But I think their plan was to go there and finish, well, or start Charles Manson's job, because he sent them over there to kill them.
Yeah.
And then she was just saying that to regain their confidence.
Because
mm-hmm. they were like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really like the subversion of expectations with how they kind of rewrite the story. It relies way too much on knowing real life.
Yeah.
The last scene was great, though, with Brad Pitt high on acid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's just, like, laughing, and then all of a sudden he goes, and the dog attacks.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, that was horrible, though, like, to be attacked by that.
Yeah.
Pit bull.
It definitely went full.
I thought it was funny because he had a pit bull, and he's Brad Pitt.
So funny. And it definitely went full Tarantino with the violence, with him throwing the can at the girl's face.
Oh my God, and then smashing the other girl's face everywhere.
Smashing her face into like everything he can find.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
And then the Asian girl screaming in the pool.
In the pool! She got burned and she was inside a pool.
Oh yeah, and then the flamethrower.
Yeah, like she couldn't go inside the pool. But yeah, it was good.
It did feel a little weird. There was at one point during that scene where, like, okay, Brad Pitt, like, took care of most of the issue. And then the Asian girl's freaking out and she, like, shoots a gun. And then we immediately see Brad Pitt fall. And it almost felt like we're supposed to assume that he got shot.
He got stabbed.
Yeah, he got stabbed mm-hmm. earlier. But with how they had, like, she's freaking out, she shoots. And then the very next thing they show us is Brad Pitt falling to the ground. So that's why it felt a little weird that they showed it like that.
I don't know. Maybe he got shot. I don't know. We don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, he
we don't know if he died in the hospital.
We just know that he's a good friend.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I really hope that in real life, Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio are best friends like that.
They show a real
cute
friendship.
Like, Rick Dalton was kind of like an oblivious
movie star.
Yeah, but their relationship was cute.
Yeah, they were nice. They play the characters really good. Okay.
I think Margot Robbie's portrayal of Sharon Tate was very good as, like, you know, just like a happy up and coming movie star that, you know, she sees her name on a poster and she gets really excited. And
I like the innocence too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and I did like the scene where she's in the movie theater watching her movie and kind of like listening to the crowd laugh at her scenes and she's just like appreciating.
Yeah, and she's very proud of her scenes.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
Again, didn't really have a connection with the plot, but it was
And I would think they picked Margot Robbie besides like she kind of looking a little bit like the real actress. She's also a new hot actress in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense to pick Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
And Margot Robbie is really good actress.
Yeah. There was some of the pacing of the movie felt weird, where like it went between like minute to second scenes, and then all of a sudden we went through like a month or 3 months of him being in Italy. Or was it like
six months. Mm-hmm.
And it was just paced weird like that, where it's like, okay, we're building up the characters. Here's, like, the entire day. We're going to spend an hour and a half doing one day.
I think because they had to show how pregnant she was at the end. You know, like, she was 2 weeks before giving birth.
You think they just wanted us to have, like, a connection with her before and after?
I think so.
Okay.
Because then, like, they can't show that she was that pregnant.
Yeah, I guess.
When they're back, yeah.
Yeah. It just felt weird how, like, hyper-specific we were about seeing Brad Pitt, like, fixing his Leo's antenna it was just like, why do we need that? But then we're going to skip through 6 months of...
yeah. I don't know.
We literally didn't see any of what happened in Italy. The only thing we saw was, like...
No, he did. They showed, like, the posters of the Southwest, the cowboy movies.
But it was just like, fast forward, here's his posters, this is what happened. Okay, he's coming back with his new wife. And that's it.
Francesca.
I liked when, after the final scene where she was, like, crying to the policeman in Italian. And he was pretending to take notes.
Yeah.
I think he was just drawing on his notepad.
Oh, boy. But yeah, it was a good movie. You should go see it.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's 3 hours well spent. Not his best movie, but...
Just get a lot of popcorn.
It's good.
Yeah, and then on the other entertainment, there is a new show on Netflix. We haven't watched it yet, but apparently it's giving people the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw this. It's an Indian show, right?
Yeah, so it's a new Netflix show that is so scary that people say they can't sleep. A new Netflix show called Typewriter is drawing comparisons to Stranger Things, and people are freaked out. And
it's called Typewriter?
Typewriter.
Okay.
Like a typewriter.
I like your sound effects.
And then it's about three kids that tell ghost stories, and then they eventually become real. And then it's, like, super spooky, apparently.
Okay.
Everybody's saying it's really good. I mean, we liked Stranger Things. Stranger Things was spooky.
Oh, but what if this show has, like, a Momo in it or something like that, that, like, you don't get it out of your head?
I don't know. Well, it's saying that people can't sleep, so I'm kind of a little afraid to watch it.
Well, when I saw the Momo thing for the first time, I was like, that freaked me out for, like, a week.
Yeah, that was... Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It didn't freak me out that much. I took it out of my head.
You're just afraid of holes.
Ew. I have something called...
Trypophobia.
Ugh. If you're afraid of holes, don't Google it. If you're not afraid of holes... It sounds so weird to say that you're afraid of holes, but... Like fungus.
No, it's like a kind of like a beehive with like the honeycomb.
Oh my god, don't say it. I'm picturing the images right now. It's just so gross. I didn't know it was an actual phobia.
Yeah, the first time I noticed it with you is we went to like Michael's or something, and they had like the decorative fake flower section.
Oh my god.
And there was this thing that it has like seed holes in it.
Ooh.
And
oh my god, I feel things crawling out of my body.
That doesn't make sense, but you saw it and it freaked you out immediately. And yeah, I guess it's
well, because I imagine the holes, like, it's just like, it doesn't freak me out, it grosses me out, because I picture worms coming out of the holes, and then if they do it on the body, like, I picture that my body is, like, rotting inside, and there are worms coming out of my body.
I feel like this is an overactive imagination. Because at no point was there any indication of worms coming out of these holes or it being on your body.
Well, that's what my brain is making me think, and it just like grosses me out, and I literally feel like my body is itching when I see these things. Like I feel worms coming out of my pores.
And I looked it up, and apparently it's like a real thing that a lot of people have, that they think it's like an evolutionary fear. That there was something in our past that we evolved to be afraid of?
Yeah, worms coming out of our bodies.
That doesn't make sense. Why gross. Would we be afraid of that?
Because it's gross.
I guess. It is gross.
But yeah. Look it up. Trypophobia.
Okay, you don't have to look it up.
Should look it
up. We explained it, so they don't have to. It's gross. And especially because people were putting up pictures of,
oh
like,
my god, no.
Photoshop pictures of people's body parts.
Gross.
But yeah, so we're going to check out that Netflix show, and maybe next week we'll let you guys know if it's worth watching or if it's going to give you nightmares and avoid it at all costs.
Yeah, oh my god. Yeah. And that's all that we have for entertainment.
That's it for entertainment. And now for some news.
World news. Bum bum.
You said you had something about what's going on in Venezuela you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so this past week there was another 24-hour national blackout. And the whole country didn't have power for more than 24 hours.
Now, would you say that's the whole country? Or would you say that's the whole country except for wherever Maduro is?
No, the whole country, like, all, every single state had no power.
But, like, Maduro probably still had power.
Oh, I mean, if you have a generator, you have power. But I'm talking about, like, actual power.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, from the outlets.
And you told me that even people with generators might not have power anymore because they had to use them so much they're running out of gas, right?
So, like, there is two types of generators. Mm-hmm. The one that my parents use, it's gas. So it runs with propane.
But the other people, they use the ones that run on gerbils running on the wheels, right?
On the wheels?
When, you know, you have your pet gerbil that he runs on the wheel and it powers your generator.
I don't know what that is. Is that a joke? Oh my god, you're so mean. It's not a joke. Well, the funny, well, not the funny thing, but the things that makes us the maddest is that the government, the reason apparently why there was no power for 24 hours is because there was an electromagnetic attack that the U.S. sent to Venezuela. That's what they say in the national news. They're like, we have no power because there was an electromagnetic attack. I was like, okay, X-Men.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, an electromagnetic attack?
Well, you can do that. There's some things called EMPs.
Okay, but obviously I feel like they're running out of reasons or excuses, and they're just, like, saying whatever.
No, yeah, it seems like their whole rhetoric the past however many months has been, like, oh, the evil U.S. imperialists are trying to take over.
They even blamed the iguanas one time. They're like, we have no power because the iguanas are getting trapped in the generators.
Oh, that's right. Didn't the guy post, like, a picture of an iguana on Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, how many iguanas are in the generator?
They're attacking the generators.
Yeah. And maybe if it's true, like say, yeah, there is a million iguanas trapped and it's ruining the propels, then clean it. Like, that's your job. Keep the iguanas away from that.
Yeah.
But it's just so infuriating to say that it was an electromagnetic attack.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I saw that Maduro's number two guy had a speech where it was, like, all to Maduro's followers already, but he was saying that the U.S. is going to be sending in Marines, and it's our job to defend our homeland against the U.S. imperialists, and they might be coming in, but they're going to have a hell of a time getting out of Venezuela.
Yeah, they posted a picture saying that they track some American
aircraft
that were flying very low into Venezuela, and, like, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? And then there was this stupid... So Nelson Mandela's grandson was in Venezuela with Maduro, saying that he's defending the revolution and he's with Maduro. And it's like, seriously? Just because your name is Mandela and that you're using that power that your grandfather had?
Yeah, it's...
It's sad.
When there's all these people that they obviously don't know the situation...
Yeah, they just care about the wire transfer they got, probably.
They either care about, like, yeah, they're either getting money or they're just, like, super idealistic with their socialism, where they feel like they need to support any socialist anywhere. And it's like, it's not real socialism. It's just, like, a dictatorship at this point.
Yeah. But yeah. So, news number two.
Tonight, shortly after midnight, in the southern sky.
So July 28th.
Which probably has already passed by the time you're listening to this, but I'm excited to go see it.
Yeah, I actually said like July 28th, midnight. Wait, no. So it's tomorrow. So it's
but
like
today at midnight. Early morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be the Delta Aquarius meteor shower. So if you have dark enough skies where you are, you can see them in the southern sky, the shooting stars falling.
Yeah, that should be fun. It should be romantic.
Yeah, I hope we don't...
Until it's a meteor crash.
I hope we don't have too much light pollution. That's one thing I hated about living in the city. You have so much light pollution that you can't see the stars.
Yeah, probably if we want to see it here, we have to drive to what all the farms are.
I mean, I feel like we might be able to, because it's not super big city here.
Are we in the southern sky?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what the southern sky means.
The southern sky means you take your compass.
Okay.
And you turn.
So like the south pole?
Pointing south. Yeah, you just face south.
Okay. Okay, don't have to be so sassy about it.
We're not in the southern sky. That doesn't
okay.
mean anything.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're in the south.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's so rude. Being so sassy about your scientific facts.
I'm a sassy man.
When it comes to science. Yeah. Okay. So we have another news. They discovered a tiny shark in the Gulf of Mexico.
A baby shark?
It's a tiny shark. It's called an American pocket shark.
Pocket shark?
Yeah, because it's 5.5 inches.
That sounds like the new doll craze. Pocket sharks.
Pocket sharks.
Everybody has one.
Ooh. Oh, and it glows in the dark.
And it goes doot 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 doot.
No, this one actually glows in the dark. Like that.
Oh, like the real live one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it sounds like part of
it. It sounds like a toy.
But the real pocket shark glows in the dark. And that's how, because it's so teeny, that's how it attracts prey. Like it doesn't attract prey by... I don't know, whatever sharks do. I don't know what sharks do. But this one attracts prey by glowing in the dark, and then small fish just come to it and it eats it.
But if it's so tiny, how does it, like, it just eats tinier fish?
I guess.
Okay.
Goldfish? I don't know. But yeah, it's they just discover it. So that's exciting for the
so if you
people
want a
that
shark,
care about sharks.
If you want a shark that fits in your pocket...
Get an American tiny shark.
Do 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 do.
Features include glowing in the dark. And then the
news number four.
News number four. I think it's so ridiculous, but so Instagram influencers are freaking out about the like count ban. They're saying that now they have to work 8 hours a day. Oh no! Instagram influencers are super upset about the like count ban, saying they will have to work extra hours to get spawn content. I would think that's what it is, spawn count?
I don't know. Sponsored content?
I would think that's what it is.
Okay.
Instagram has rolled out the ban in several countries, which will prevent users from being seen, from seeing how many likes people have on their pictures. The ban has already been rolled out in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Italy, Japan, and Brazil. Instagram said the test will create a less pressurized environment and make it feel less like a competition. Users will be able to see who likes their post, but know how many likes others have, so they cannot be comparing themselves to other Instagrammers. So I will be able to see I have 1,000 likes.
Uh-huh.
I wish. I will be able to see if I have 1,000 likes and who like my pictures, because you can see that in your feed, but others won't see those 1,000 likes. They will just be, I think it will just have hearts, but it won't have a number.
So if I understand this correctly, I haven't been paying attention to this, so just to clarify, if I go look at Ava Meneghini's Instagram page,
mm-hmm.
I won't be able to see how many likes any of your things have?
No, not at all.
But if you were logged...
You will see comments.
Okay, but if you were logged into at Ava Meneghini photo, and you looked at any of the pictures that you posted, you can see how many likes each one has?
I can see how many likes I have from my own.
Yeah.
Like how many people like my picture.
Okay.
But I won't be able to see how many likes, I don't know, Maria Juanita has.
So why is this a big deal?
Because apparently people on Instagram, they make money in two different ways. Sometimes they get sponsors by how many followers they have.
Mm-hmm.
But because now you can buy followers, it doesn't really make sense. Like, it's not really a number for traffic.
It's probably based on likes and links.
So, their sponsors like better when they have a lot of likes, because that means, like, they have an actual traffic of people going through their pictures and liking them, right? Like, they're actually reading their content. So, sponsors won't be able to see the number, and they can't know if you are not, if you're like famous enough for them to sponsor you.
Is there a way on because I don't use Instagram that much, are you able to see how many people viewed one of your posts?
Yeah. A view.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know you can see how many people liked it, but can you see how many views you
there
got?
There is different apps that they're not Instagram made, but they're made by other people.
Mm-hmm.
That if you download it, you link your Instagram account to it, and then you can see how many people liked your post, saw your post and didn't like it, and who stopped unfollowing you.
Okay.
Who unfollow you.
Okay.
But that's like too much. I used to have it. I only had it for like a week, and then I was like, oh my god, that's only too much.
Just thinking about it from like a business perspective, like if you sponsor somebody, you probably like the most important thing.
But it has to be linked to your account. Like you, if you're, I don't know, you own Maria Juanita.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah.
You cannot link Eva's account to your account. To see how many, okay. Like, I would probably have to send you the numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the number one thing I would want to see is how many people viewed. Because, I mean, just myself going through Instagram, I don't like things. Unless it's, like...
Well, you like what you like. You like what you're interested in.
No, I mean, like, I'll see something that...
Not even your friends?
Sure, just... But the only reason I do that, the only reason that I like my friends' pictures is to like make them feel good about their post. Like if I see something that's sponsored, even if I like go and like buy the product,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to like the picture.
Mm.
It's just a picture. I don't know. Maybe I'm an outlier though.
Yeah, I don't know. I only like things that I'm interested in. So I mostly like everything because if I'm interested in something, I will follow that account. So every time they post something, I would like it because I'm like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. And I don't know. It's kind of like a respectful appreciation kind of thing because you would like to get likes too when you post
something. Yeah, that's the only reason I like my friend stuff is because I know, oh, it's nice when people like my thing. So I'll like their thing.
Yeah. And
but if I'm just saying if it's like a sponsored thing or, you know, they're advertising something, I'm not liking it for the sponsor, personally, at least. I think probably the most common thing is that they have like a link in like their description that leads to whatever's sponsoring them.
Oh, and then, or they're tagging the picture.
Yeah, and then like however many people click that link, like they probably get money based on that.
Yeah. I mean, Instagram is a big movement, and like people is making a big deal because I would think it's so, I mean, like, I don't want to say it's so easy to make money from an Instagram account because there is probably a lot of effort involved into, because like if you're an influencer, you have to keep your figure, you have to keep like, I don't know, makeup on point, hair on point, buying new clothes every time, or like getting a sponsor to send you new clothes, editing those pictures, preparing a content for the whole week. Because sometimes they just do that, like, on Sundays they will prepare the whole content for the whole week. So
yeah.
It's like, you're not really working every day. You're working probably one or twice a week and then posting all of those things. Yeah, you probably have lot of emails from sponsors
they
and,
have
like,
to,
answering emails.
They have to work out eight hours a day, though.
I mean, yeah, and if you're a fitness Instagrammer, yeah, I would think, like, if you're living at it, like, people is paying you just you work out.
Yeah,
yeah, you have to, right? Like, I guess that's your job. But, I mean, for the rest of the world that actually works probably more than 8 hours a day, I mean, they're making such a big deal about it. And I get why Instagram is doing this because there is people that actually suffer from depression.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the number of likes, like, there is people that go, like, completely depressed. And,
yeah.
Like, the world hates me.
Yeah, and that's been studied by psychologists, that social media in general makes
messed
people depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like, even like, if the people like didn't like your picture, most of the time it's like probably like a fake picture, so like people don't like your fake life. Like, how would you be depressed from that?
Or like, you know, the super skinny girls. Okay, they're skinny, but they're also sucking in that picture, like when they pose.
Oh, like the before and after.
Yeah, or they like pose and they're like pushing their butt out and like sucking in, and it's
yeah.
like it's a picture. And it's not them in their life.
And then they tell you, I've been drinking flat tummy tea.
Yeah.
And it's like, you also work out 3 hours a day. So is it the tea or is it the exercise?
Or is this
probably
how,
the exercise.
Or is this how you've looked for 20 years?
No, I mean, they do work out a lot. So it's obviously not this magic, like, tea or pills. It's obviously because they spend a good amount at the gym and they have a healthy diet. That's why they look that way.
Or they were just born with a good metabolism.
Or they were born with a good metabolism, which is a thing. And they're like, I was never this thing before. And then you see a picture and you're like, you were always thin. You just didn't have muscles before.
Which is something I'm excited to talk about because we did 23andMe.
Yeah.
And I think we'll have the results by next week that we can talk about our results.
Oh, yeah. That
should
be exciting.
Because they're going to tell us, like, what our genetic weight is, like, what our genes say our normal weight should be.
Oh.
And our genetic muscle mass.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm a little scared about the illness side of it, like the things that we can suffer from. Just because it's a little... I mean, like, I'm sure I'm going to get the cancer in there because...
The BRCA gene?
Yeah. What is BRCA gene?
That's the gene that it's like you're predisposed for breast cancer.
Oh, well, nobody in my family had breast cancer.
Mine, yes.
Yours, yes?
My grandma and my aunt.
Okay. Well, my family is different kind of cancers, but, I mean, they all have, like, members of my family that have passed away, they all die from cancer, so I'm probably gonna, like, that's probably gonna show in there.
Well, with that attitude.
I mean... It's just gonna reinforce that I have to be healthy in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it's good to be reminded of things. And sometimes you're like, I'm only 27, I'm fine. And then you forget that you want to live longer in your life. And you shouldn't expose your body to so many bad things.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot, because it was just over a week ago, a guy who was a StarCraft player and commentator died. And, you know, I had met him, but obviously he wasn't like a close friend, but I just like watched a lot of his content and got to know him through that. And it just hit me hard because he's not that much older than we are. And it was just like super sudden. Like, I saw him doing a stream on Twitch, like 2 days before he died, but he died from a pulmonary embolism.
Oh, what is that?
Like a blood clot in his lung, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and it's important to, like, take care of yourself. But he had a blood clot issue in the past, so he was always a proponent. You know, he would stream for hours at a time, but he would be really on top of, like, every hour he would get up and stretch and walk around, you know, have some water, just, like, taking care of himself as much as he could. And he was always at the gym. He was a very athletic guy. He was very bulky because he was like a weightlifter kind of guy. But yeah, it was sad, but it's a good reminder to, like, take care of yourself.
Yes, because I mean, our bodies, like, this is like our little house. We have to take care of a little house so we can continue living.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we think about other materialistic things, but, like, your body. Your body is your temple.
Yeah. Yeah. And his case, I think he did what he could to take care of himself, and it was just unfortunate, but...
Yeah.
Because that's something that happens, and, like...
Yeah. And, like, you're never gonna know. I mean, like, with that eating bacteria thing here in Florida, it's like, you are on a vacation relaxing with your family, and the next day you're, like, dying in a hospital because this bacteria is killing you. Like, you never know. I mean, we're exposed to bad things to happen to us every single day.
So the moral of the story is we're all going to die, so don't put money in your 401k, right?
Maybe. Oh, God. Minnie Mouse die.
Minnie Mouse?
The voice of Minnie Mouse.
Oh, the voice of Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
I thought, like, you know, Mickey finally had enough of her crap and...
Russie Taylor died. She played the voice of Minnie Mouse.
How old was she?
75.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that old. 75. I feel like 75 nowadays is an acceptable.
I feel like Minnie Mouse is probably older than that. But I don't know. Maybe she wasn't voiced.
Oh, she was the Minnie Mouse voice since 1986.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Well, long live Minnie Mouse.
Yeah.
Minnie Mice. Minnie Mouse. Minnie Mouse voice. Carlos Cruz Diaz also died. He's a Venezuelan artist that he passed away today. He was 95 years old. He died in Paris.
Did you, what kind of art did he do?
The actual name, wait, I know the name. It's like really cool. It's like kind of like 3D, like it's different colors,
mm-hmm.
and you see different things. But it, that has a name. I mean, kinetic art. Yeah. He was one of the first ones. The first artist to do kinetic art. And, like, he is very iconic in Venezuela because the Simón Bolívar International Airport, the international side of the airport, the whole floor and part of the floor and the wall is one of his art pieces.
Oh, okay.
So it's very iconic for Venezuelans because they always take a picture there when
yeah.
they leave in the country. It's like the last time I'll see these. I never took a picture there.
Is it the one in Caracas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I've never been there.
He has the stadium in Miami, the Marlins Stadium, also the floor and the entrance of the stadium, he designed that. But yeah, he died today. At least he lived a long time. I mean, 95.
Yeah.
He was very nice and happy.
Yeah, that's like 3 times as long as the StarCraft guy lived, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so he enjoyed his life. But it's sad to see an artist die.
Yeah. Yeah, the StarCraft guy, his name was Jeff Robinson. He went by In Control. He was always, like, such a happy, funny, like, joking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He made inappropriate jokes, but he was always very funny and always super nice to people. And it was kind of nice the past week seeing people post on Reddit and Twitter about how, like, he changed their lives or he, like, helped them through a tough time.
Yeah.
How he was, like, a pillar of the community that always, like, worked to make it a good community.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, it is good to say that if you leave this world, you leave the world leaving behind a good message or being an inspiration for people.
Yeah, leaving it better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's good too. I mean, not it's good that he died or any of these people died.
Yeah.
But if you're leaving the world with such a meaningful life, that you had a meaningful life for people, it's good and it makes you reflect about yourself
mm-hmm.
and being like, what can I do to make a better to be a better person? Because
yeah.
once I pass away, this is what people are going to remember about me.
Yeah. Did you hear about the animation studio in Japan?
The one that they exploded? The bomb?
There wasn't a bomb, but a guy burned it down.
Oh, yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Okay, but that was pretty intense.
That was intense, yeah. He said, I killed them all or something, and then he burned it.
Yeah, there was a guy in a Japanese animation studio that, based on what I read, he, like, planned this way in advance, and he, like, locked all the doors and burned the building down.
Yeah, that's spooky. I think 8 people died?
Yeah. Pretty messed up.
That is spooky. So many haters in the world. People have to chill. People have to take a chill pill.
Yeah.
But
especially
yeah.
in, like, it's an animation studio where you're, like, making, like, cartoons.
Well, but Japanese cartoons can be very intense. They're like
oh,
a talent,
true.
Like a soap opera.
No, that's true. There's been some animes that I've seen that kind of freak me out.
Yeah. Like, they are like actual soap operas or movies.
Yeah.
Making into cartoons.
Yeah.
So.
True. It's like the telenovelas or Korean dramas that
yeah.
they have animes.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way.
And all the all of the girl cartoons have big boobs.
Well, you know. If you can draw it. If you can make your characters however
can
you want.
Imagine the world how you want.
Exactly. Why not?
The imagination is your limitation, right? Like, is that a thing?
There's no limits to your imagination.
There's no limits to your imagination. So I think we just have to think about how can we make the world a better world and what people are going to remember about us once we leave this world.
Yeah, it's good to always work towards making a positive impact.
Yeah.
Even in a small way.
Yeah, because literally, I saved the turtle. It might be like nothing for other people, but for that turtle was something. Like, you saved a life, even if it's an animal.
Yeah.
Like, something so little can mean so much. And it's like the butterfly effect, right? Like, when a butterfly flaps their wings, like, it creates a tornado. And mm-hmm. that's like how we want to think that when I do something little, it's going to replicate into something bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, giving somebody a couple bucks when they need it, or helping an old lady cross the street.
Yeah.
Carrying groceries out.
Because you might not even realize, like, you're just saying, like, helping a lady crossing the street. Like, you might not even realize this, but maybe a group of kids is watching that, and then they want to copy that because it's a good thing, and then they're going to do that, too.
Yeah. Or I've had some situations where people, I don't remember what I've done in these situations, but they're just like, you know, you just made my day. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting that. I was just being a nice person.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe from there, they're like nicer to other people throughout the day and just make everybody happier.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice to think about that. I know. Sometimes I think about, like, my job is not really that meaningful.
And then you complain about it, and then you're negative, and everyone else is negative. And
I'm not negative. Oh my God, I'm not negative. I really try to think about my job as a positive.
The bright side.
The bright side. And like, when people complain, like, well, at least we got a job, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It makes us happy. I'm just saying, like, my job is not that meaningful. Like, I'm not working, like, in a, I don't know, like, a fundraiser, and, like, we're making money for this group of people, and, like, because I'm making clothes, right? So it's like, it's just a consumerism part of it.
It's very consumerist, but
yeah,
I think it's important to just stay positive and focus on the things that make you and that make you happy, and how you can make other people happy. And
yeah,
you know.
And I've tried, like, when there were these fundraisers going on from Venezuela, I tried to put the word in my company, but apparently that's against
it. It's a little too political for them.
Yeah. Like, we end up getting involved in this. I'm like, okay. But yeah. So just watch out how you're acting in the world, and try to stand out as a better person every day.
Yeah, stay positive and try to make a positive impact.
Yeah. And that's it for our world news.
And now we're into audience advice. We have three questions that we'll be answering today. Which one do you want to do first, babe?
Question number one.
Oh, okay. And which question is question number one?
Okay. Let's read this one. How to reject hanging out with someone. That's the title of the question.
All right, I'll read it. Someone wants to hang out with me, but they don't make concrete plans, and I can't hang out that way because it is hard to plan and makes me waste time trying to communicate. He wants to reschedule, and I agreed, but I just don't want to. How do I say that I don't want to? I'm not sure I want to be his friend. I'm not feeling the connection or desire to be a friend, and it feels like I'm forcing myself. Right now, I am not in a good space, and I feel he wants to use me for a friend, but I can't be one to him, if that makes sense. So how can I reject without making another plan?
Well, I personally don't like not planning things. Like, I need a plan. I need to have a date and a schedule. So I kind of get it, like, it's a little annoying to be rescheduling.
Yeah.
But if you really like somebody and if you really want to be friends with somebody, I think it's okay to reschedule things because, like, there is a mutual connection, right? But if this person doesn't really want a friend, doesn't need this kind of friendship, I think I would just let it, like, I would just ignore this guy because it seems like if he doesn't schedule anything, the other guy is just not going to come back to him and he's just going to, like, go with the wing.
Yeah, I agree. If you don't feel like you really want to, then just don't do it. It's, you know, like we were talking about, life's too short to, like, do things that you're not gonna enjoy.
Yeah, and if it's a toxic relationship, I mean, like, relationship can be a friendship relationship too. And if it's a toxic relationship, and it doesn't bring any happiness to your life, then just move on.
Yeah, there's no
if
point.
The other person is, I mean, maybe the other person is actually feeling the same way, because if it's rescheduling, it might be thinking the same way. Like, yeah. This other person also realized that you guys don't make a good connection, so he's like, maybe not this week.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like, if you're not having a good time hanging out with this person,
it shows.
They probably won't be having a great time either.
Yeah, it shows when you, like, I instantly notice when somebody's having a good time and then, like, they switch to, like, I want to go home.
Yeah.
You notice that.
Yeah.
And the other person might just be uncomfortable, and you're uncomfortable already. So I would, maybe if you don't call this person back, it would just, like, meh, it will die.
Or just, you know, tell them that, you know, you're busy or whatever. There's not a great way to just, like, respectfully say,
I don't want to
hang out with you.
Yeah. It's not you, it's me.
But yeah, just, you know, this happens where it's like, let's reschedule, and then eventually it just kind of dies. Just let it die.
Yeah. There is no point to save the friendship.
Yeah.
So I think just move on respectfully.
Okay, question number two, coming in from mhansla54. I'm 17 years old and have been looking for a job for a while now, and a man at the Wynn's gas station down the street is willing to hire me. I'm super excited, and he seems very nice and cool, and the store is super well air conditioned. That's nice. And it's a nice, relatively small place. It seems like a great place to work, and I'm very excited to get started tomorrow. But I need to know, is there anything you guys think I should know about working or finances or literally anything? So I think you're probably overthinking it. I mean, I understand it's like a big first day.
But it's also a gas station.
Yeah, yeah, it's not going to be, like, a whole new world. Exactly. I'd say you just have to prepare yourself for... You're going to have a boss, and it sounds like you like the guy, but, you know, he's going to tell you to do things that you're not going to want to do, and you just have to...
Especially that environment. I will just be worried about, as a girl, because she's a girl, right? Is she a girl?
We don't know.
Oh, we don't know. Well, if she's a girl and working in a gas station at 17, the only thing I will be worried about, it's the drivers, like, might be, like, a trucker driver or, like, drunk drivers that might come into the gas station and be, like, trying to flirt with you or be, like, disrespectful. So I would just watch out for that and maybe try to be safe from that.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, kind of the environment in a gas station. I don't know if this gas station is very secluded from the town or, like, it's very centric. So, that will be the only thing I would, like, worry about and, like, what you should know about your job.
Yeah. And, I mean, just in general about, like, having a job. Like, you're going to start earning money, which is great. And you'll be able to buy whatever you want, which is great.
But, and if this person is 17, it's probably like, you want to save for college? Or you're going to college?
Well, realistically, that's not what 17-year-olds think about.
I mean, but like, I would think this person is very mature, because he's getting a job. And it seems very excited for whatever the kind of job is. This person is very excited of getting a job. So I would think this person is very mature.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you are planning on going to college, then, you know, do a little budgeting. See how much money you can spend and save up for what you need for college. But really, it's just come up with a budget, figure out what your goals are to save towards. You know, if you're gonna move out at 18, if you need to, like, start paying rent, just think about that kind of stuff. If you have a car, if you're gonna need a car when you move out.
Yes, but maybe just have a training, ask all the questions you need to ask the first day and write them down, so you don't have to keep asking questions, because a manager's get annoying. I mean, like, they're there for you and to help you out, but they do get annoying to be like, oh, again, like, I already explained that to you. So the first day, take all the notes you need to take and make sure you keep it in a notebook that's close to you. I don't know, like, password security things and cashier things if you're working in the cashier, and just make sure to be good with the clients and make sure they respect you and respect them as well.
Yeah, But all in all, I think it's going to be good for you, and I think you'll enjoy it. But in the end, everybody learns from their first few jobs what type of work they like to do and what work environments they like.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a learning experience, and just kind of take it in as you go and learn about what you do and don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck with your job.
And then on to question number 3. Do you want to read it?
Should I be concerned that my 9-year-old brother is dancing to the Russian national anthem in the kitchen? Specifically in the kitchen. I'm actually concerned and are not sure if it's okay.
If he's okay.
If he's okay. I think your 9-year-old brother is okay.
So the thing about 9-year-olds, they do random things and they'll entertain themselves with random things.
The first question would be, how did he get in touch with the Russian national anthem?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Did he Google it, or is your family Russian and it just came up, and or did he hear it somewhere and he said, hey Google, play this song?
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's okay. I've never heard the Russian national anthem. It might be very appealing to him, the noise. So I think it should be fine.
I don't think
he has any socialist.
I remember kids that they were dancing and making dance videos to songs from commercials and stuff. So I don't think this is particularly weird for a 9-year-old.
I mean, I'm thinking of her, she's worried about the Russian spy.
Oh, you think
things like that.
He might become a Russian spy.
Yeah, but I think it's fine.
No, as long as he isn't...
He might learn a new language. That's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, if he's starting to learn Russian, I don't know, maybe you do want to get a little worried, but...
I mean, maybe he can, in a few years, get a job in the
CIA.
FBI and the CIA.
Yeah, true. He could become
and
a spy.
And protect the U.S. country.
He could be a spy. Maybe he's training to become a spy for the U.S.
A 9-year-old... I think it's fine. I never heard
who would who would suspect a 9-year-old to be a spy, so it's a perfect cover.
Yeah. Can we Google the national anthem to see how it sounds like?
So I think what we're concluding here is that your brother is a American spy and he's getting ready to go into Russia.
No, I think it's fine. I mean, let me see. Russian national. It might be really funny. Oh, it sounds like a superhero song. Okay, it doesn't sound like a superhero song. It sounds very patriotic.
How do you dance to this?
Yeah.
It sounds like a marching song.
Maybe he just likes classical music.
Or it's from a meme or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Well.
But I'd say don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I mean, if it gets bad, then maybe you should, but... I think it's fine for now.
Well, that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for listening in.
Yeah, thank you for watching another episode. Well, listening to another episode. Trevor never saved the world.
And until next time.
Bye. Save the world.